She broke, she bent, but she never disappeared. She's healing out loud, even when it feels unclear.
Hey y'all, and welcome back to Her Way Through the Glow Up Diaries, where healing gets honest, growth gets messy, and every story starts with I'm healing. Today's episode is titled, Why I Had to Grieve the Childhood I Deserve. Vicky is back, and if you caught part one, then you already know she came with truth, grace, and a whole bunch of wisdom. Today we're diving even deeper, so let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
Jumping right into the next topic, we're going to talk about how sometimes you have to grieve a childhood that you feel like you should have gotten. I feel like people don't work on their inner child enough. How you grew up, how you was raised, everything that you went through affects your adult life. So If we jump into the first question, the first question would be, when did you first realize that you needed to grieve your childhood?
When I became an adult and when life started lifing.
Period. That's life.
Right. And when you become an adult, like, you start to do stuff like go to school or buy a house, like stuff like that. Like typical things that adult people do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things, believe it or not, they come from the help of parents. Like parents kind of set you up for that. So when I'm an adult and I'm thinking like, wow, I want that, I want this for myself, but I'm also thinking like, you know, like, where's the support? Like, or not where's the support, because I do get support, but I'm just saying like the ideal family helping their child out with getting and obtaining these things in life. So I think that's when it was, because when I realized that I didn't get the one that I deserved, and when I started to realize what I felt like it should have looked like, it should have looked like a two-parent household. It should have looked like...
Period.
Yeah, it should have looked like that. And I feel like if I had that, I would be able to obtain and have the support of obtaining those things quicker. So that's when it happened for me.
And that makes total sense. That what emotions came up when you realized that you didn't get that childhood that you felt like you should have gotten?
I was sad. You're sad, and then you're resentful. Like, you kind of get resentful. Very
resentful was not a word that I thought you would say, but that is very true. It's not a bad thing, but the fact that you acknowledge that is the emotion that came up when you thought about that's deep. So, did you ever feel ungrateful, needing more than what you got growing up?
No, because no way. Hell no, because I deserve that. Every kid deserves that. Like,
period.
Every kid deserves to have both parents. Like, they did not ask to be here. Like, that's
and
what
didn't.
I mean, because I just seen on the shade room, and I don't even, like, really get into the shade room, but this story was big. It was popping up on my story. It was about little baby's baby mom, Aisha. She basically had a baby with a basketball player. And the basketball player don't want nothing to do with it, didn't want the baby, nothing. And he gave, like, he was going to pay her all this money for her to abort it. She said, no, I'm going to still keep it. So he said, well, I'm not going to be in the child's life. And he even said, like, he even got the judge, like, they went to court and said, how much do I got to pay up front? Up front, like, child support up front. So he's going to pay $1 million up front in child support and be done with it. Like, that's so messed up to me. Like, I don't think that the kid deserves that. Like, I think the kid deserves to have... Yeah, she deserves to have two parents. Like, so, no, I don't feel guilty or ungrateful for anything. I don't. I feel like I deserve that.
Gary, you did. And it's so funny that you brought up that topic, because I literally was just talking about this. Not this topic per se, but it related to the topic that you brought up with. So I just want to touch on it before we jump into the next question. As far as that situation, him saying that he don't want the baby, like, and her deciding that she still want to go through with it, how do you feel about that? Like, because I know us being female, as far as looking at abortion and stuff, everybody has their different, views and opinions about what abortion is. And granted, whatever that is to you, stay in it. This is not a judge zone. So, but for this situation, do you feel like she should have just got that abortion?
Because I don't even want to speak on the abortion part because, like, you know, pro-choice, like, she can do, it's her body.
Exactly.
But, like, my whole thing is, if a man is telling you, you got to think about your child, you can't be selfish.
Period. That part.
You can't be selfish. I just want to say, if it was me, I would not have brought a child into the world where their father is blatantly and publicly telling me that they don't want anything to do with the child who was innocent. I wouldn't have done it.
And I totally agree with you because I'm definitely pro-choice. I want to say I don't believe in abortion because it's not that I don't believe in it. I feel like anybody can do whatever they want to do. It's your body, whatever you feel like is right for you. But when it comes to a situation like this, far as, like you said, like the dad is literally telling you, like, girl, I don't want that baby. And to think that it's like, okay, I'm still going to have it. I feel like in a sense, you're basically setting yourself up to be a single mother. Nobody goes into having a baby like, yeah, I want to be a single mom. I mean, I guess some people do, but realistically, that doesn't make sense to me. Because first of all, being a single mom is hard, okay? It comes with so much. Financially is hard. Emotionally is hard. So it makes sense for me to think that a female would literally be like, yeah, that's just what it is, and I'm going into it like that. Like, no.
Right.
And like you said, it's about being selfish. And that's just thinking purely about you. I believe kids deserve that two-parent household. It makes no sense to bring a child into a broken home. Now, it's different when you have no choice and that's your only choice. Like, if you feel like you did everything to make this relationship work, you didn't did it all. Like, you went through the gutter with this person and this person just still continues to hurt you. By all means, do what's best for your mental sanity. Don't sign yourself up for trauma. So, were there parts of your childhood you minimized that you later realized was painful for you? Or, like, try to downplay it, like, oh, it wasn't that deep. But then as you became an adult, you realized, no, it really was that deep.
Yeah. When you, at the age where your parents have to actually, like, pick you up, you know, for the teacher.
Yeah.
I used to be at school, and my grandmom is the one coming to pick me up. Not my mom, not my dad, but my grandmom. And everybody else's moms is, you know, getting them. And it's not even that I minimized it, but I just never really, like,
you didn't feel like it was that deep.
Right. Yeah, it was a thing. Like, it was like I always was aware that it wasn't ideal, but I minimized it. Yeah, like I didn't make it a big deal.
It wasn't that big of a deal until you got older and you realized, but it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. So, what helped you see that reflecting on your past is not more so about blaming that person or more so about just healing from it?
Therapy helps you see that.
Yes.
And placing blame is not going to get you anywhere. Like, it's not. Like, you just want to be mad. And being mad, it takes a lot of energy to be mad. And
that was a powerful statement. Hold up. Wait, before you even continue, because I don't think people understand that. Like, being mad and just angry is so much energy. But you could literally just, like, you know what, just release that anger. And you'll feel so much better. So don't let that statement that she just said go over your head, guys. Because, yes, being mad takes a lot of energy. It truly does. And release that energy. Release it.
Yep. Because, like, you're in the driver's seat of your life. You know what you went through. You know what happened. Just learn from that and not make those mistakes. I'm at peace with knowing that I'm not going to make those mistakes.
Period. Period. Because when you know better, you do better.
You do better. Oh my God. Yo, I'm looking at that quote right here on my whiteboard. Like, I literally had that written down on my whiteboard right next to me. You know better, you do better. Like,
that is so true. More people need to live by that because knowledge is power. As far as when it comes to parenting, you know how everybody always say, oh, you don't get no handbook on what to do with this kid or how to raise this kid. But while you may not get a handbook, on how to do that. What you did get is you know what not to do. Okay, like you know
right.
what didn't work for you, or you know what you didn't like growing up, and you know not to do that in mm-hmm. your family. So yes,
yep.
when you know better, you do better. People need to live by that quote.
Mm-hmm. It breaks the cycle. Like,
for sure. Yes, yes, amen to that. Breaking cycles, whether it's generational or whatever. People need to understand, if it doesn't work, stop trying to make it work. Like, mm-hmm. if it doesn't work, don't make it work. Like, for instance, hitting kids, let's just put it out on the table that hitting, whether that's your way of parenting, it doesn't work. I know people will probably shoot me in the comments like, oh, well, I do what I want, it's my kid. And you're right, it is your kid. But at the end of the day, it still doesn't work.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And I just hate it. The idea of like beating and spanking and stuff like that, I don't like that. That reminds me of child enslavement. Like that gives like power, like slave
man. Mickey went back to like, slave, baby. She said, you hitting them kids, you making that kid your slave. Y'all heard what yeah. she said, because she mean it. And I'm with her with it, because it doesn't work. And it's not teaching the kid anything.
Lazy. I lucky think they were being lazy when they thought of that concept. I think they were being very lazy. Like, sit in and talk to your kids.
Period.
Talk to them. That's what I gotta do with my son. Like, I gotta get down on his level. Speak gently. You gotta make your eye, like, don't squint your eyes up, because that'll scare him and he'll start crying even more. Like, you gotta get down on their level and just talk to them.
Yes.
You know, because they're humans too. Like, they can't even regulate their emotions and their feelings. I just feel like hitting it was a form of self-gratification for them, or something.
For
it made them feel
sure.
like, yeah. It was,
for
a,
sure.
it was a stress reliever.
It was. And honestly, at the age like both of our kids at, they weigh heavily on emotions and energy. So while they may can't express, because they're still kids, so they're going to express, they're going to have tantrums. That's what kids do. But mm-hmm. it's about the parent and how you choose to handle that tantrum. I don't understand how, if your kid is having a tantrum, you think the first step is to hit them. What is that? That's not teaching them why having a tantrum is not okay. That's not teaching them that what they did is not okay. It's not teaching them anything other than they just got hit.
Right. And then they're going to go to school hitting other kids. And they're going to be like, oh, your kid hit my kid. Well, they learned it from their mom hitting them for no reason.
Hello. There it is. Exactly that. Don't be trying to shoot us up in the comments because we said what we said, because we said what we said. If you feeling some type of way about it, that means that shoe is fitting. And maybe mm-hmm. you need to change some stuff up. So,
yeah.
with that being said, how do you stay compassionate with yourself when those old wounds of the childhood that you felt like you were supposed to have resurface?
I remember that it's okay to feel, and it's human. You know, it's human to have feelings. And I just, you know, remember that you don't always have to be strong. Like, you don't always have to be closed off, that like, you can feel, like, it's okay to cry. I will be watching, like, it was the Rugrats. It was Rugrats. And you know Chucky? Have you ever watched Rugrats?
4, yeah.
Yeah, so Chucky, basically his mom passed away, and it was the Rugrats movie where they were in Paris, and at the end of it, all the kids, they were dancing with their moms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like, Chucky's mom died, so he didn't have no mom to dance with.
Mm-hmm.
And I started crying. Like, I was bawling. Like, my son was sitting in his bed, and I was just sitting there, like, bawling. I'm like, oh my God, it's so sad. Like, because I felt the same way. And it's okay for me to have that moment where I can relate. I can relate, like, you know.
It is. And
that's normal.
That's a perfect way to put it, because it's definitely normal. The strongest people are the ones who can be vulnerable, because people mm-hmm. don't take the time to realize that being vulnerable is actually not weak at all. It's actually very strong. You know how strong you have to be able to be vulnerable in a situation that you feel like you don't want to, or you don't want to show somebody? That's strong. Mm-hmm. That's strength yeah. right there all day long. And if people look at being vulnerable and crying and showing emotion as strength instead of weakness, baby, where they will go, it's not about being weak. I think that mm-hmm. a lot of females need to get out of that, and a lot of males too. Males feel like they got to be so strong all the time, and that when you show mm-hmm. emotions, you're weak, and you're not.
And make sure you tell them it's okay for them to cry. Because
it sure is.
That's one thing I do not play with. I better not ever hear anybody say, if you cry, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I better not ever hear those words come out of nobody's mouth in regards to my son, because it is okay for him to cry. It is okay for boys to cry.
To cry,
I hate that. I hate that. Like, oh, you're a boy. You better man up. You better toughen up.
Yes.
That's not cool. That is not cool. You're dismissing your feelings.
Exactly. That part right there. That's exactly what you're doing. You're dismissing his feelings, and you're also teaching that little boy to grow up to be a man who don't know how to express himself, who don't know how to be vulnerable. And who wants a man like that, ladies? Let's be real. Nobody wants a man that can't express himself. Nobody wants a man that can't be vulnerable. So if you don't want men like that, it starts with us women, us with these males. And growing up, these little males, you teach them that it's okay to cry. Just because they're a boy, that don't mean... I teach my son that all the time, and I hate when I hear people say, oh, you're a boy. Boys don't cry, because boys do cry, because boys have emotions just like girls do. It's no different. Yeah. It's all human, we all have emotions, and we all feel things. So I don't know why the narrative of boys don't cry or boys got to be tough all the time, where that came from, but let's did that too, okay? Because that most likely was brought up back in the day, and let's leave that where that's supposed to be. Stop trying to make that be a thing.
Toxic masculinity. That's toxic masculinity. Like, for real. Like, don't ever tell no boy he can't cry.
That makes no sense. And fellas, if you are listening, let me be the ones to tell you, females love when a man know they could be emotional. Females love it because you don't see it enough. You don't see a man being that. You always see men being, oh no, it don't matter. That didn't affect me. But when you get a man who could be like, you know what, honestly, that hurt my feelings, you respect them so much more.
Right. You're right. Yeah, you do.
Because it's like, wow. That was really man of you to say. And honestly, it make us look at you and they're like, damn, that's a man. That's a man, man. Like, you understand? Like, he's a man, okay? It's going into the next question. What everyday things helped you feel okay while you were going through, like, this learning process of realizing that your childhood wasn't what you wanted it to be or what you feel like it was supposed to be? So what do you do to make sure that you stay okay with the fact that you knowing that it wasn't what you wanted it to be?
Everyday things. Just being appreciative that I'm able to, like, because I'm a student, I'm in school right now, but I'm also like a stay-at-home mom. So just being thankful that I get to do these things with my son. Like,
period.
Even though he had what I wanted out of my childhood, I'm able to get it to my son. Like,
period.
I'm the one that seen my son take his first steps, not the daycare worker.
Period.
I'm the one who heard him say his first word. Like, I was there, just being present. That's the everyday thing, being present.
Yes. I feel like it's a beautiful thing when you realize, because I'm glad you said that, but just you saying that alone made me look at something so differently. And now that's what I hope this podcast does for everybody listening. Whether we said one thing that resonated with you or just helped you change your perspective, then I feel like that I did my mission when it comes to creating this podcast, because her just saying what she just said just helped me to look at things completely different than I, and sometimes that's all it takes, just hearing some one thing being said, like, damn, you know what, you're right. And I didn't look at it like that, because I'm a student as well as Vicky, and I'm also a mom that stays at home with my kid full time. And before she even said what she just said, I never looked at it like, oh, you know what, I'm grateful for that, and I should be, because my kid could have, it could have been to the point where my kid had to go to daycare because I had no other choice. Like, I gotta go to work, I gotta make this money, and he has to be watched, and everybody else gotta go to work and make this money. So what else am I gonna do? And so I honestly need to take the time to just be grateful that I am able to still work and provide money for my kid, but also still be here and present and see the things that I probably would have missed if I had to go out every day to my job and him being in the daycare or being watched by somebody else. So those are definitely things to be grateful for. But thank you for saying that, because I never looked at it like that, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Especially because me, one of my biggest thing that I'm grateful for is because to go to school, because my grandmom, she used to work 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. shift. So we would go to school, you in school from like 8 to 3, and then we would go to a family member's house from 3 to 12. So I was never home. I legit was never home. Most times away from home, I was only home for probably like 6 hours every day. Wow. Yeah, so the fact that my kid doesn't have to go through that's one of my biggest things that I'm grateful for. Because
and the stability too, though.
It is, yep, the stability. Yep.
And kids need that.
They do. They need it more than you think. More than you think. And especially because I feel like nobody pays attention, because when you're like a kid who's like looked at as like, oh, you're okay, you're fine, yeah, you're normal. Like me, I didn't act out. Like I wasn't a rebellious teenager kid, none of that. I just was, right. I was well behaved. Mm-hmm. So nobody paid attention to that, to think like, oh shoot, like she goes to school and then she don't even get to go home. Nobody probably thinks that really affected me, but it's like, no, it actually did. I just didn't feel safe to say it. Every kid wants to go after school. They want to go in their refrigerator and get snacks and sit down at their table and watch their Disney, their favorite Hannah Montana show, mm-hmm, and go to their room and take a nap. I didn't do that.
No, for real. My mom was the one who'd be like, believe it or not, kids crave stability and routine. They want that. I feel like as adults, we get so used to the notion of like just going with it. Like you just going with the motion. Like this is what it gotta be. This is what it is. And you don't stop to think about how whatever you're doing may affect your kid. Even if it may be the type of situation that it has to be that. But if you step back and think like, wait, hold up. I understand that this is what it is for right now, but how is this making my kid feel? Enough parents stop or not even parents, just caregivers or whatever your role is as far as taking care of somebody else. If you stop and think about that aspect of things, you will start to do things differently. Because I know when you're an adult, you just be going with the motions. You're not thinking about it. It's not per se because you don't care. It's just because, like Vicky said
life
before,
is life.
Exactly. Life be life. But sometimes you do have to stop and think about how it may be affecting your kid, because you don't want a conversation with your kid and your kid telling you like, yeah, that affected me. I mean, I don't think no parent wants to hear that. But if you are in that situation and your kid do come to you and tell you how they felt, I feel like the only thing you could do as a parent is listen. Don't be all defensive. Listen. That's it. That's all.
That's literally it. Yeah, that's literally it. Like,
did grieving your childhood change your relationship with your family?
I don't want to say it changed my relationship because it's the same.
Yeah.
But you kind of see people, you see them as people. You see them as people, yeah. You see them as legit people. And you kind of analyze, okay, this person is this type of person. This person is that type of person. Like, it kind of gives you more of an understanding, because when you're a kid, you're like, this is my grandma, this is my sister, this is my
yeah,
pop-pop. But no, as an adult, you like, okay, this is my grandma. Her name is Boone, and she's a person. She's this way.
Yeah.
So this is how I have to communicate with her. This is
yes,
my dad. This is how I communicate with her. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I think that was a great way to put it, because yes, you can't handle everybody the same way. You just can't, because everybody is different. Everybody behaves differently. Everybody perceives things differently. And everybody is on a different intellectual. Some people don't got it all there. Okay. Like, and let's just be real. And this is not judge nobody, because y'all know this is a judge free zone. But this is just the reality of it. Everybody is not mentally capable of reaching a certain level. They just don't have the smarts. And it's not saying that they like, I'm not talking about the people that like literally you could tell they got a mental problem or anything. I'm talking about the people where if you were to look at them, you wouldn't know that they have a learning problem or learning disability, but they have one. And that has to be taken into account of how you handle that person and how you deal with that person and how you say things to that person, because they're going to look at things differently. And you can't think that you could handle a person that, you know, is not mentally anything, and then you can handle them the same way with somebody that is mentally.
Right. Yeah. And to expand on that more, it's okay. So, you know, when you're a kid, you go on family vacation, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, we're all going to be around each other and we're all going to have so, it's going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, that's what you're thinking. Like, family vacation, oh my God, it's so fun. When you're mm-hmm. an adult, oh, okay. Yeah, we're going on family vacation, but I'm going to make sure I get my own hotel room.
Okay.
And we're going to do this. Like, because this person snores, this person likes to drink. Think in reality, like
you do
reality.
That's a great way to put it, because yes, you do. Going from a teenager to adult, it's an important phase in your life, for real, because being a teenager is hard. Like, okay,
yeah,
you go through so much. Yes, you go through so much. You meet so many different people, you realize so many different personalities and everything, all in a matter. And then if you think about it, your teenage years is your shortest years of life. You're not really a teenage that long, you know. Once you become an adult, you're an adult for the rest of your life. For a teenager, you're a teenager, okay, and then you get to an adult, and then once you're an adult, the teenage years is over. Talk about how going from a teenager to an adult is also a touchy and important phase in your life, because you also start to become aware of so much more than that you never even realized. Even far as your family dynamic, like, you'd be feeling like, oh, I've been around these people for years, I know what it is, until you become an adult and you be like, well, damn, I really didn't know that much.
No, for real. Like, when you start to learn the lore, the family lore, when it's, because, you know, like, it's really true when they say, like, oh, like, when you ask, like, oh, well, why is, like, what happened to this, or why is this way, like, what happened? And they're like, oh, you won't understand. You really won't understand. Like, you don't understand. Like, for real.
No, for real, you don't. You truly don't. You say, like, when they say that to you as a kid, you don't be understanding. Mm-hmm. But then when you get an adult, it be like,
oh.
Oh. Right. It definitely be the biggest realization, for sure. So we're coming up on to the end of this episode. We got two more questions left. What do you say to the little girl inside you now?
I see you. I see Harry. You. I hear you. And I'm here. Like, I'm here for you. And you're protected now.
Yes, Vicky. Those was powerful statements. Everybody listen now. Give her amen. We all still have this inner child in all of us. We do. Mm-hmm. And that may need to be worked on. So if you are like Vicky and you feel like you also did not get the childhood that you also deserve, take a step back and listen. Think about these questions that I asked her and how she chose to answer, and think about how it pertains to your life and what does that mean for you. Because then once you do that, you're on your next step to healing. Because maybe you do need to heal from it, and maybe it's time to do it instead of keep like, oh, well, I was a kid, that happened then. But no, it still matters.
Yeah, you have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge and admit that. It is what it is. And you can't change it. But in order to move on from it, it has to be addressed.
You have to address it. And those are the biggest things she could have said. You cannot think that you can heal from something and not address it. And I know that sometimes walking down certain lanes in your life may be scary, and it may be like, I don't want to revisit that because it may be painful and you don't want to feel that pain. But if we're being honest with ourselves, that's the only way you're going to heal. Acknowledge the feelings that you're going through. Acknowledge how it hurt you. And then once you do that, then you're on your step to healing from it. So getting to our last question, how does your current self give her what she needed back then?
Self-advocation. I advocate for myself. This is my life. I keep saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it. This is my life. I'm going to advocate for myself. Whatever I want, I'm going to get it. Whatever I don't want, I'm not going to have it. You're not going to do it. It's not happening. Like, advocate for yourself. Because if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
That is so true.
And then you're going to be mad. So
that is so true. It's about having integrity and standing for something. You have to stand for something. Like she said, this is her life, and this is all y'all lives as well. Who knows what you want out your life more than you? Okay? Right. So don't let nobody tell you what your life should be or where you should go or how you should feel, because nobody knows how you feel or what you go through better than you.
Do not look at the next person and what they have and what they're doing and compare it to yourself, because your story is not their story.
More people need to worry about themselves. You got to realize those people may have different outcomes, different predicaments and everything that you didn't have. So how you gonna compare yourself to something that can't really be compared?
Yeah.
Your truth, okay? Whatever that means, that's what this is called.
Her truth. Yes.
Because like Vicky said, this is ended with her affirmation. It's always light at the end of the tunnel. Going through a hard time, like me, because I am currently going through stuff, okay? And it's tough, but understand that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's not going to always be this tough. And I know I will get through it. And if I can get through it, you're going to get through it as well. So that concludes the end of this episode. Thank you, Vicky, so much.
You're welcome.
For taking the time out your day to share your story and share your heart. And you didn't hold back. And I appreciate you so much. Hopefully this won't be your last time for the podcast, because it's a lot of topics I know that we can talk about.
No, it won't be the last. And I'm sure next time I'll be able to sleep, because I could not sleep when she asked me to do this. I was like, yes. When I saw you, I could not sleep last night.
Why am I so nervous? I'm like, I don't know. Like, she did great. What are y'all think? She did an excellent job, and she dropped some gems. Maybe take some lessons out of her book, because I know I am. She said some things that, you know what? I could apply that to my life. I could look at it that way. Then this was her way through. So, yeah, thank you so much for taking the time out today to do this for me. I truly, 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 truly appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. So happy
you had this playtime,
for
Vicky, thank you for coming back and being so open. You poured into this diary and reminded so many of us that healing doesn't mean forgetting. It means honoring. And I love you for that. If this episode spoke to something you haven't had the words for, this is your sign. Journal about it. Tag someone who gets it. Your inner child deserves the mic too. No matter what page of healing you're on, you're not alone. And you're not behind. Keep growing through it. Keep growing through it. Keep glowing through it. And I'll see you next episode.
Healing ain't perfect, but baby, it's true. She's hurting. She's learning. She's glowing right through. This is her way.